Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the return of Locked On Eagles, your source for the best Philadelphia Eagles news and analysis. I am your host, Michael Kist. You can follow me on Twitter at Michael J. Kist. I call this the return because this show has been dormant for the last 8 months, which is a shame. Teron Davenport did a fantastic job with it before, and I've been tasked with picking up the torch and carrying the flame for the 2017 season and hopefully beyond. Now, this is a perfect time for this return because if you're like me, and if you're listening to this, you probably are, you can feel the energy as the season approaches us, and you simply can't wait for August 10th. That's when the Eagles play their first preseason game against the Packers. It is so close, you guys. Pads are popping, news is flying, and I'm chomping at the bit to talk with you guys about football, and we're almost there. Now, before we get into what you can expect from this show from a content standpoint, I want you to know a little bit more about me. If you clicked on this podcast out of curiosity and you have no clue who I am, I can already guarantee you that we have a couple things in common already. First off, you love football, I love football. And my big picture focus has always been all 32 NFL teams, and I do a lot of writing about the college prospects during the season, as I am an NFL draft junkie, as you will find out. Now, this is good news for you guys. Now, as we enter preseason, we have a lot of new faces to see in their first action with the Eagles. I've watched all these guys in depth and have gone into near pornographic detail about some of these prospects as I attempt to gain a better understanding of what we can expect from these guys. The other piece of me being a football fan that I wanted to talk about is that to help further advance my knowledge this summer, I enrolled in the Scouting Academy to really challenge myself to gain a deeper understanding of the game. And hopefully, what my hope is that training will allow me to more effectively communicate the finer points of the game here on this show. Hopefully that pays off. Now, the second thing that we have in common, we love this team. We love the Philadelphia Eagles. I was born at Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, home of the old Eagles training camp. My son is an Eagles fan. My unborn teeny tiny baby son is an Eagles fan, and he doesn't even know what football is yet. Now, there are going to be times, now that I have that qualified, where I might have some concerns or criticisms about players or philosophy that you might disagree with entirely. I fully understand and expect that. But at the end of the day, I want you to know I want nothing more from the Eagles and their players than to bring home a championship to this great city and to their great fans. Now, from an age perspective as well, it's important for me to let you guys know that I'm old enough to remember in clear and sometimes excruciating detail all of the Andy Reid years while he was with us. I've been through the good, the bad, the ugly. I've bled with this team just like you guys have. Now, with that in mind, I've decided to bring on a co-host for this journey that is the 2017 Philadelphia Eagles season, and I think you're going to like him. From the moment I was taken into consideration for this position, there was only one name that came to mind as a perfect fit. Someone that bled green like me, somebody that is passionate as we are about the Eagles, and somebody with the intelligence and the hashtag grinder mentality needed to bring you guys the best possible content. My good friend, Benjamin Solak, has agreed to join me on this odyssey. And let me tell you guys, there is no better fit, and you should be as excited as I am about this addition to the show. All of the things that qualify me to bring you this show, Ben has it and probably has more of it. Now, right now, he's following obligation for work, but he'll be back in the next week, so look forward for that. Ben does fantastic work for Bleeding Green Nation, and you can follow him on Twitter at Benjamin Solak. That's S-O-L-A-K to find out more about him. All right, let's talk football, shall we? One topic we're going to delve into as we progress through this preseason is camp battles for each position, and the logical place to start, of course, is quarterback. Now, we want to know what that position looks like for us and the rest of the division. And, of course, there is no battle for the starting quarterback position on the Philadelphia Eagles. Carson Wentz is our QB, and hopefully it stays that way until I go completely gray. Now, if you're reading the same reports and watching the same videos as I am, Carson is having one heck of a camp. So let's start with that. Dave Spadaro from PhiladelphiaEagles.com said that he has looked like the best quarterback in Eagles history. Now, look, I'm not one for hyperbolic statements like that, but it is encouraging. And if you take a look back at his 2016 rookie campaign, he had some ups and downs. And look, I'm not going to be the everything is roses type of guy that has a firm handle on how last season should be interpreted for Carson. We don't know yet. And guys like Elliot Shore Parks recently released an article that said he would take Carson Wentz over any other quarterback in the NFL. That's not me. As a supposed journalist, it's just lazy clickbait designed to troll the masses and make more money. In a perfect world, he would be caged and stuck with hot pokers until he confessed the real reason for writing that article, and I think we all know what it is. So that being said, it doesn't matter who I would take over Wentz. It shouldn't matter to anyone. Hypotheticals are fun, and unqualified people like to make rankings and tiers to create conversations and drive ad revenue, but at the end of the day, from an evaluation standpoint, the only question that matters to me is this. Can you win because of Carson Wentz? Can you win with Carson Wentz? Or can you win in spite of Carson Wentz? Those are the only tiers that matter in my book. And when it comes to the 2016 campaign for Carson, I mean, those first 3 weeks, he looked like you would win because of him. Not in spite of, but because of him. He flashed that ability to play the NFL quarterback position at a high level. There were stretches that he had later on that didn't look so good. And you know what? For a rookie season, with the lack of a run game, with the lack of weapons around him. I mean, this offseason was said to be weapons for Wentz. There's a reason for that. And, you know, you bring in Alshon Jeffery, you bring in Torrey Smith, and we're going to highlight all of these new additions to the Eagles offense as we go through these position groups. But I think you're going to get a much more complete picture of who Carson Wentz is as a quarterback this year. You can't go just off the rookie year. That would be insane to give up on some of these quarterbacks. Like Derek Carr, you can look at his rookie year and you can kind of see the same struggles. The flashes are there, folks. There's no denying that. He has the talent to be an NFL quarterback. Does he have flaws in his game? Absolutely. Is the elongated throwing motion a little bit worrying? Yeah. And the reason that it is worrying is because he didn't always diagnose things the quickest. And you saw that come to fruition in the red zone a lot when you have to make quicker decisions and you pay for it much more because of the compressed field. You know, anticipation will mask a lot of things. And you're going to see that conversation come up with the USC quarterback, Sam Darnold, this year because he has a little bit of a longer throwing motion. But his anticipation in college has been fantastic. And I'll go back for a second to talk about the weapons that Wentz did have last year. Jordan Matthews, Dorial Green-Beckham, and Nelson Aguilar, all ranked among the least efficient wideouts in the NFL. DGB and Aguilar ranked 88th and 96th out of 96 qualified wide receivers in PFF's yards per route run. And that's not good, folks. You know, we got to do a lot better supporting a young quarterback like that. And I'll even go back to the expectations that we had for Wentz when we first drafted him. Bradford was the starter. This was not supposed to be Wentz's coming out party. In fact, I've got a quote here from Jimmy Kemsky from right after when the Eagles drafted him and training camp was coming up, and Doug Peterson had said that he might not even dress for the first few games. So here's the quote. In a best-case scenario, the Eagles would love to be competitive in 2016 with Sam Bradford having his best season as a starter. Not a high bar. That would make it easier for Howie Roseman to flip Bradford for a decent pick during the 2017 offseason. It's very clear the Eagles want to be extremely patient with Wentz, a player they view as a long-term centerpiece of the franchise, but not in any way some kind of short-term fix. Even if Bradford gets hurt, count on backup Chase Daniel to take over the reins as the starter. There's a very good chance Wentz won't even dress on game day, as teams typically only keep two quarterbacks active. So there's a lot to unpack in that quote there. It obviously didn't play out that way. Teddy Bridgewater got hurt in Minnesota. Chase Daniels did not step in as the starter, as was expected. And look, Wentz only played, what, a half a game in the preseason with a hairline rib fracture? Missed 3 games of that? and came out to be the starter day one regardless. Now, what was the plan? Well, I can tell you what wasn't the plan. It was to have your rookie quarterback throw 600 times. Unfortunately, the run game never got its wheels under it. Matthews was banged up all season. You could blame some of it on play calling. I'm not necessarily going to go there. But look, if your plan is to have your first-round quarterback throw 600 times a year when he might not have even dressed for the first three games of the regular season, just because there was a trade, then, you know, maybe the expectations were a little high and things did get out of control with the expectations, especially after those three games with the Steelers, Browns, and the Bears, where the hype was just out of control. And what I think you're seeing now is an overcorrection to that in some places. With all that said, by all accounts, Wentz is far more advanced this camp than he was last year. And it's to be expected. So he's had that full offseason to work the film, to self-scout, to find out what worked, why it didn't work, and then to learn from what didn't, okay? So make no mistake about it, though. Be encouraged by the level in which he understands the game at this point. He could be having a camp like Blake Bortles in Jacksonville. He could be having a camp like Christian Hackenberg in New York, where he's hitting more defenders and reporters than he is receivers. So while it's not set in stone that he's due for a great year because his mental acuity and performance at this stage in the offseason, you don't need to visit the Oracle of Delphi or check a liver of a sacrificed bull to read the signs. It's looking good for Wentz so far, which I'm excited about, and you should be excited about as well. Now, as you look around the division for the other quarterbacks that will be having to play this year, their strengths, their weaknesses, I mean, you can't help but look at Dak Prescott, right? From the Cowboys. Had a fantastic rookie year. Now, you can add the argument, oh, he landed in a great situation with a great offensive line and a running attack and weapons and so on and so forth. All of that's true. But look, he's not in a different situation. He's in the one that he's in, and he can't be faulted for that because he's going to succeed with those pieces around him. And that's what we're going to have to deal with. So as you look at his rookie season, I mean, he went 13-3. 67.8% completion percentage, 3,600 yards, 23 touchdowns, only 4 interceptions. It was a fantastic rookie campaign. As an Eagles fan, you know, you hope he takes a step back. But the odds of that happening, you know, who knows? His situation really hasn't changed. I don't think the offensive line is as dominant as it was last year, but it's not a far cry either. You still have Ezekiel Elliott. He's going into his second year. He's going to be a factor in the run game. You still got Dez. They've got some young wide receivers. I don't know if you saw the Hall of Fame game, but we're going to get into them during these previews that look like they could be up and coming. So the Cowboys' situation at quarterback is pretty much set for possibly the next decade or so. So they're in a pretty decent spot as far as that goes. Now the Giants, you know, the clock is ticking on Eli Manning. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And he had weapons last year, and that offense really wasn't all that great. You know, he throws a slant to Odell Beckham that goes to the house, and it looks great in Eli's stat book. But, man, he has not looked very good in a long time. And I don't care what kind of Andy Benoit ranking you want to pull out, you know, on me. I don't buy with him as being an elite or a top 10 or a top 15 or a top 20 quarterback in this league anymore. I just don't think it's there for him. Now, they've loaded up at weapons, and we will talk about that as we go on. That's going to help him. The run game is not there, and I don't think it's going to be this year either. So you got an aging quarterback, and they're trying to surround him with weapons with Shepard and, you know, drafting Ingram and Odell and Marshall and all that. But he's got to get the ball to him, and that's something that he's struggled with recently. So, man, hopefully those struggles continue. And you go to Washington, one of the more interesting scenarios, you know, this offseason was tagging Kirk Cousins. Is he going to be with the Washington Redskins long term? Well, we know he is going to be this season, so that's what we're going to focus on. So with that franchise tag, he keeps him there for another year, keeps him there for $24 million. Kirk can look fantastic, and Kirk can look awful. I almost called him Kurt, which I don't know if you saw that press conference with the GM after Kirk Cousins didn't counter back with their offer. Called him, what, Kurt 6 different times? I mean, that's not how you keep a quarterback, franchise quarterback in the building. And not calling Cousins a surefire franchise quarterback, but he is the face of that franchise at that position. So, yeah, it's going to be tough for the chemistry in that building to stay cohesive throughout the year, knowing that Kurt could be gone at the end of the season. His up and down play, we don't know how that's going to play out. Losing McVay, all those different scenarios speak to some possible issues there. But, you know, at the end of the day, Kirk Cousins is a good NFL quarterback that can hurt you. And, you know, when you look at our secondary, it's really not that hard to hurt us. Our cornerback play has not been very good since Asante Samuel left. So, you know, looking around the division, there are some strong quarterbacks. Eli is probably on the bottom part of that barrel because he's aging and whatnot, but he's got weapons to deal with. So you're going to see some good quarterback play in the division this year. But look, man, our quarterback is Carson Wentz, and hopefully that doesn't change for a while. He's got all the tools. I loved him coming out in the draft process. I watch a lot of division, 1A football. I watched a lot of North Dakota State and have been following him for a while. I'm a fan of his, and I think it's going to be a big season for him with the weapons around him, with the coaching staff that we have built around him, the quarterback experts that we have with Peterson and Reich and DeFilippo and all that. There's a reason to be excited about this team this year. Hopefully a running game can get going around him. But, you know, if not, you know, I would just hate to see him have to throw 600 times a year. I hope we can get the lead early and be able to hold it and run the ball a little bit more effectively and have Blunt close out some games. So that's where we are, State of Division 2017 NFC East quarterbacks. With that in the books, I want to talk to you guys about what we got going on tomorrow. If you go to my Twitter timeline, at Michael J. Kist, you're going to see that I have a poll up. Vegas has the over-under for Eagles wins this season at 8. And I want to know what you guys think about that. So go ahead and vote on that. Subscribe to this podcast. Share it with your friends. Let all your Eagles, your Cowboys, your Giants, your Redskins fans know. They got to know their enemy too. Subscribe to this page. Rate it. Let people know. Vote on the poll. We're also going to be talking about some training camp news, but I really want to get into this 2017 schedule and kind of give you guys an outlook of maybe how things could go or how I think they will go. So thank you so much for listening. I look forward to this season with you guys. It's going to be a lot of fun. And as always, keep it locked on here on Locked On Eagles.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What you doing?
Ran out of space on my phone, so I'm deleting some stuff. Bye, singing dog. Bye, goal.
I pronounce you.
Bye, wedding ceremony.
Stop. At Metro PCS, you get 2 free phones with twice as much memory.
Really?
Don't say bye to your memories. Switch to Metro PCS and get 2 free LG K20 Plus phones with 32 gigs when you switch 2 lines. Metro PCS. Wireless. Figured out.
Coverage not available in some areas. Sales tax not included in phone price. Excludes numbers on the T-Mobile network. See store for details and terms and conditions.